One of the big elements that I feel, I'll reiterate this, boy, there's a lot. I'm excited about Jamie coming too. Ron, I'm sure, they'll also have prophetic things over the church. And Jamie's feeling some things for us. He released it Thursday night when the worship team was up there ministering. And I'm gonna share that quickly. I just feel to share that quickly. And I'm hoping, I ask him to reiterate what he shared. his predominant word was, you have been visited. You've been visited. He kept saying that word. Isn't that the phrase? You've been visited. And like the Lord's been, it's not about him coming. It's about he's here. And once you're visited by that. And then he talked about two men coming, like, and he said, I don't know what that looks like, but I see two men coming. They're like the men in black dressed, two of these guys coming with their stuff. And he referred, if you know the silly movie Men in Black, I mean, shame on you if you've seen it. Shame on you if you haven't. It's one of those. Yep. And bizarre, crazy story, just fun and games. And anyways, I hope it's just fun and games. And in that, they have this nebulizer flashy thing. And once you've seen, witnessed an alien living in a human body, then you need to forget about that. So they're government agents, of course. I hope this is all pretend. Oh, God. Anyways. And you get the flashy thing, and once you've seen it erases your memory. You forget the event, forget all about it. Well, he said he saw that coming to us, and these two men, they do the flashy thing, and it has to do with erasing our past, like the bad, anything bad, like that's a good word. How would you like in the spirit for the spirit to come, to send angels, whatever it takes to truly, boom, hit the flashy thing so that just isn't a part of who you are anymore? Because as long as the memories, the bad memories, we have some of these with the church, as long as they're alive, the failures, the offenses, the things that have happened, the things that have gone sideways, as long as they're living, I mean, I have scars on my body. That one, no feeling. It's fine. It's just a mark. It's healed. There's a mark, but it's fine. It's okay for there to be a mark. It shows you've been through it. But we want that to be healed. We don't want that to be sensitive anymore. We want the pain to be gone. Like those are good memories. They're just, yeah, some stuff happened. Here's my testimony. But the pain, to have the pain gone from it. If the pain's not gone, the infection's not, the inflammation's not gone from that, if it's still a wound, if there's still brokenness in that, then it doesn't take much of anything to activate that. And once that's activated, you're right back down the same. And so we it can be years and years and years ago that something took place. We need that healed. Yes? And so to have that flash, like, that's not your identity anymore. Because this is when you move into shame. It's not just I did something wrong. It is I am something wrong. That's the difference. And we want that, as well as the offenses, we want that also eradicated from our lives. That is your promise. So let's get on the cross, the finished work of Christ's side of all of our stuff. So that our failure is not our identity. Our stuff's happened. Man, you don't even know half the stories that are sitting here in this room. Right? People go, oh, I don't know if I feel part of that. It's like, listen, I know this group, and half the days we come, we're just doing good to show up. We got stuff going on. We are not worried about your stuff. We got our stuff. There's very little judgment around here because we know who we are and where we came from. So we're like, oh, no, I'm not, I don't want to touch that because I got my own stuff, right? And so to be eradicated, to have that eradicated, that I, this is the word from the Lord. I would encourage you to receive that and pray and just start standing in the posture. Receive things by going yes to it and saying yes to it. And yes, Lord, and apply that. One of the reasons, one of the big things as I consider Phyllis, I'll talk about this next week more, but is this role that she plays as mother of the church, like in this role of being a mother over this church. Now, I want to take a few moments this Mother's Day. I'm not good at those kind of things. However, I mean, I can screw up Christmas when it actually comes, like so. You come freely. That's all I can say. And so I don't have a Mother's Day message. However, I do have some things to say about this. As I contemplate it, I'm like, I've got to share some things about this. Kingdom of heaven, government in kingdom, okay, is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Understanding heaven's relational government, that is what we want to come to earth. That would be a good thing. We look at government, we have a bad taste in our mouth about government, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the in the country, wherever it's at, it's usually like we're like, ugh, cold chills, it's corrupt, it's this, it's that, okay, political spirit. But there is a righteous government. And that's what we want to be reaching out to. And righteous government is leadership, is fatherly leadership. And if you do a sozo, which is a ministry to the soul, sozo means salvation, I believe, in the Greek. They use these three elements. The fathers, father figures, like it relates to your real life. Fathers are fathers. Holy Spirit represents your mother, relationship with your mother, how you perceive that thing. And the third is Jesus is the Son. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is your mother. Son is your siblings. Relate. And that kind of makes up almost every relationship you have. And so it's not just that you give birth to physical children that you become a father. In the kingdom, there is a whole role of father. We have fathers in this house, and the fathers in this house make it a safe place. Righteous father, kingdom father, fatherliness, I'm not using the right words. They create safety. They make you feel safe, secure. They nurture you. They speak into your life. They encourage you. Like fathers, if you feel like you have fathers around you, and the church is supposed to be full of fathers, then it's a good thing. As well as this mothering thing, this mothering, being a mother, is not just about having giving birth to children. Okay, it's not just about that. We have mothers that have given birth to children, and they're still not connected with what it is to be a mother. So that's a tragic thing, but that's a reality. So just because you have children doesn't make you a mother. Just because you have children doesn't make you a father. You may be, you may be technically the father, but you ain't no father. You are MIA. You're like, no. You missed it. So this thing of, it's very important, just as well as the fathers in the house, is to have mothers in the house. Mothers are, this thing is so, it's so dynamic and so important. So having a wholesome mother, a healthy, a mother that's whole is an awesome experience. And this is it's in their DNA. I was sitting up at Atwell once we sat down after we did worship, and Jamie's little girl, Havilah, she's a three-ring circus all by herself. She's this big, and she's just like, wow. And she was walking around. She had something hanging on her shoulder. She had a baby carriage with a baby in it, and she was carrying another baby. And she's just all about life. She's bigger than life. Jamie and Ruth have great control over their first two. This third one, they don't know what to do with, Ruth says to me the week before, she goes, I don't know. She's yelling at people. Like, I don't know what to do with her. She's like, you know, and their first two, they're like, they click their finger. They do what they ask. Havila comes along. No, not so much. She's like, I'm sitting in the front row and Havila walks up and with all of her, she's doing baby dolls. Like, no one teaches her that. She's doing that and hands me this baby doll. I'm sitting through half the meeting with this big baby doll on my lap. Like, oh my gosh, you know. It's Jenna and Lauren Cole walking down Bethesda Road with their, you know, their things with baby Jane and whoever else, you know. And we were concerned for a while they're going to grow out of that. Then they get married and it starts all up again, you know. Women are wired that way. It's a beautiful thing. But in your mothering, you must be connected to this in order for this to stay good. As I guarantee you, well, Senior's talking about offenses. You want to talk about an offense. Let one of these little ones you gave birth to offend you, and wow, wow, wow. It's all, you know, talk about the pain and the difficulty and the challenges of that, yes? So it's wonderful when they're being wonderful. It's tough when they're not. But a mother hangs in there. Phyllis's role, using her as an example, I'll repeat this next week. You know, in this church, she's probably kept more of you alive than you understand. There are things and places and times when I would kick the whole thing to the curb. Phyllis is there in my ear among other people like, don't do it, you know, don't do it, Rick, you know. Let them live, you know. It's that voice, you know, men, we're like, we're about killing things, building things, starting things, you know, we're that way. There's not much motherly about me at all. I think that's okay. I'm not sure sometimes. But that nurturing aspect, how we need that in the church. And as we grow, like growth of new people come, they are babies in the Lord. Phyllis has mothered, but she's mothered many young women. Like, I mean, once that connection happens, no one teaches it. It just happens. And wow, through, you know, it's for better and for worse. And it's been a little bit of both. And if you hang around us long enough, we'll talk about different girls that attach themselves to Phyllis. And when it's good, it's good. When it's not, it's tough. You feel it because you cannot help but this thing to be very, it's up close and personal. You do it with your heart. And so this mother, it gives the greatest joy and it can give the most devastating blows as well. Whether it's the loss or the brokenness in the relationship. I just want to honor you that are women that carry this thing. You're just as important as it is for fathers to be fathers in our communities, in our church, in our communities. It is for women to be this mothering thing. And it doesn't matter what it looks like in your life. And it doesn't matter whether you actually have children or not. It's a big deal. It is how heaven designed humanity to work. This is one of the most basic relationships in life. And what's unique about it is that it has to always be changing. It never just stays the same. You don't mother a 2-year-old the way you mother a 31-year-old. And I loved yesterday this Mark Geppert, the speaker we heard. I don't know why all of a sudden he throws it out. Whoever said that parenting ended at 18? He said, I find my children, they really start needing me when they hit 18. And that is so true. And why do we agree with our culture that says, oh, no, they need to be out of the house, they need to be this or that, or just all the, don't let the culture define what this is supposed to look like, okay? Just period. There, it's no. They're not our role model. The world's not the role model for this. We need to be the role model. We need to set the standard. We need to show what it looks like, because we have the ability, because we're connected this way. This is our source. Our children are our source, because mothers or fathers, if your child becomes your source, and it's very easy for that to happen. You love them, but they also give you your identity. Beware, you're going to crash big, or they're going to crash big. Because it needs to be in constant transition, where it takes, this baby comes into your life, if in that, using that illustration, and they're totally dependent on you. You cannot leave them on the curb. They need you to survive. Yay? And so it transformed from there to they become teenagers. Well, yeah, they're definitely out there then, you know. And then, you know, they'll kind of return as they become young adults. They kind of get some sense back, you know. But who says it even has to look that way? Here's what I want to really emphasize: the role never really ends. If you're a father, you're a father until. If you're a mother, you're a mother until. It doesn't end. It just changes. And if you can make those adjustments and you can keep connected this way, you need the Lord's help. You'll need His help just to get healed over the things that go wrong, and they will go wrong. Things will happen. The offenses. That's one of the most difficult offenses to get over, when it's when your own children, and you get offended with them or they get offended with you, and wow, and just spiral. It's a deep wound, isn't it? And our culture looking for a model, a good model of this, how it works and how it can stay good, because they're full of broken. It is now totally common for adult parents to be separated from their adult children. It's normal, isn't it? It's normal. It doesn't have to be that way. If you as a parent, father, or mother will just pay attention to this, there are seasons. At every season, you need to adjust, but you don't need to go away. Matter of fact, don't you dare go away. And no matter how independent, especially girls are, as they grow up, they get married, you know, whatever, the baby comes and boom, guess where they're back? They are drawn back here. I mean, as a young man, I did not understand this dynamic at all. We're not even going to go there. I was messed up. How I viewed this, I don't know where I got it, but it was messed up. It wasn't healthy at all. I didn't understand how this worked and how important this was. And so you need God's grace. You never quit this role. And it needs to be kingdom oriented. It needs to be based on the Lord. You know, the Lord's my source. Son, daughter, you are not my source. I love you. I have a role to play in your life, but you're not my identity. Mom, dad, you're not my identity. You are what you are. And so my word about mothers is awesome. This is amazing. It's in your DNA. It doesn't matter whether you have physical children or not. There's this element. The church needs you, needs this element in it. To be whole, we need this. This is part of the picture. This is part of heaven's relational government. Because you women, I can go into a whole nother thing about women. Maybe this is mostly this is that too. What a voice and what a thing you bring. And if that voice is silence, or that input is not part of who we are. And just using our church as an example, we lack. That's actually the redeeming thing. It helps keep us on track. The absence of men is just as bad. So we need each other. I was studying, I'll move into the next aspect. So before we move on, let's just, if there's a, I don't know how to do this without making a big production about it, but today I just want to honor you women. I want to honor because of what's in you, what you carry. And so just reach out to a woman near you, guys, other, it doesn't matter. We just want this right now in the house. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask for, here I am asking for greater grace, but greater grace has been given. But I ask for access and your help, Lord, to nurture any broken heart in this realm of mothering. I ask you to heal the disappointments in this, in Jesus' name. Make them whole. Fill the empty places. It's okay if there's a scar left, but the pain needs to go away so we can function, because our jobs are not done yet. In Jesus' name, I wipe away regret. We're broken people doing the best that we can. Father, give us wisdom. Let us tap into more grace to continue to function in our roles. Father, I just ask for your blessing on our women. And I ask that they will carry their role with honor. Let all shame, all regret be removed. And I ask that they, each one, be personally connected to you, regardless of their age, regardless of how old their children are, that the greater grace will be theirs to have wisdom about how to continue to relate to their children, because they're always important to us. Never lose their importance to us. And I thank you for our women. I thank you for the women in this house. I love the women in this house. I thank you for the preciousness of every one of them. In Jesus' name. I was I caught myself praying the other day, asking for more grace. And I'm asking about things I'm feeling in my heart, wanting wholeness, wanting bad feelings to go away, like just wanting to do better and be more whole. And a part of it is going after this offense thing and just it, letting it be eradicated and understanding I remain in this often because my heart's not healed. So whether I did it to myself or somebody else did it, doesn't matter. It's still a wound, it's still a disease, and it still needs healed, or I'm going to bleed to death. I'm going to die fast or slowly, but I'm going to be dying, not living. Yay? Yes? It's true. My pine tree with the weevil in it, dying slowly. Cannot afford to harbor offense, unforgiveness, those things. Jesus commands that, but it's not because he wants to ruin your life. Like, oh yeah, I should just let you enjoy hating people, like being bitter about that, not forgiving, because actually that feels really good. No, Lord, I didn't say it felt good. It's just, you know, but it can be very empowering and energizing. I mean, you know, hate and anger can be a very powerful force. So if you live on that, eat that all the time, maybe you can get a lot of stuff done. You ever have a time at home, day at home, when you're just mad at the world? You just cleaned the whole garage and you mowed the grass and did a bunch of stuff. Like, my heart's bad, but man, I got the power, you know? I'm getting things done. Things are flying, you know. There's another anointing. It's the pure anointing. You don't want to tap into the dark anointing. People can minister out of the dark anointing. Caught myself asking for more of something. I'm like, he's not going to give me more, because there's no more that he can give, because he already gave his all. So here I am saying, Lord, more. And it's not that they're bad prayers. It's not like you're committed the unpardonable sin because it's hunger. It's like, Lord, it's a good choice. I'm not going there. But I went, but it's not the correct prayer. It's not the correct approach. And I realized, and I started to meditate, I just need to access more. And I started, and I pray this, and it's neat when you're on the same page with the Lord's like waiting for you to pray that. Like, I've been waiting for you to ask that question. Blah, blah, and you start getting downloads. Like, oh, whew, finally, I got the right question. Yes, finally, you asked the right question. Do I have answers for you? And I see my two fingers. I probably did it. And because I can be animated when I'm really into something, when I'm all by myself, whatever. And it's the connection. And once the connection happens, I just need download. I know it's all here. And have you ever seen one of these movies where, you know, live action, high impact movie, and they're on a train, and they're going, you know, 80 miles an hour, and there's good guys and bad guys, and they're trying to do a wire transfer, you know, and that whole wire transfer. I don't understand all that stuff. But anyways, it happens. Somehow it's real, and they're watching the computers, and they connect to something, and you know, and they're approaching the tunnel. Hurry up, hurry up. It's got to get done because we're going to the tunnel, because what's going to happen when they hit the tunnel? Lose connection, eh? So somewhere there's a huge amount of money, and they wanted to transfer into there, and there's only one way for that to take place. It's really there. But they've got to have this, we can't even see it, but they've got to have the connection for that transfer to take place. And all of a sudden, I realize this is how it is. This is what this connection defined in a general way is being in the Spirit. When you're in the Spirit, when you get in the flesh, you disconnect. When you get offended, this is why Jesus says, don't do that, because it disconnects you. And you stop getting the download that you need continually to access this thing called grace. Grace comes to you when you connect, when you're in the Spirit. And I'm going to break this down some so that it's not mysterious anymore. This connection can be anything. That there are things that you do. Some of them are just kind of normal things, but they're the right thing. And you know you're in the Spirit, and you're staying in the Spirit. And primarily, I want to encourage you. What is it you do when you know you engage? Like, you're just... the flow starts. You're creative. What is that thing? There was a movie called Chariots of Fire, and it was about an Olympian called Rich Little. It was a while back. And one of the famous quotes from Rich Little, they had it in the movie anyways, I feel his pleasure when I run. He was a runner. He was an amazing runner. This quote is, I feel his pleasure. He was a Christian. I feel his pleasure when I run. Why would you feel the Lord's pleasure when you run? Because it was what he was born to do. That was his path to him having a testimony, and his testimony went throughout the world. Watch the movie. Read the story. Some of you are sitting there like, oh, no, 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 I'm not feeling that. When I run, I'm not feeling his pleasure. I'm not feeling my pleasure. I'm not feeling nobody's pleasure. I'm getting cold sweats just thinking about that. What if we all really paid attention? Phyllis related this earlier, where we've stopped trying to compare ourselves and trying to put on somebody else's stuff and trying to do what somebody else does, and we find, who am I really? What's the right? I'm talking about righteous things. What's the righteous? What's the thing? What's the Sabbath rest look like for you? For you, it's very important to keep the rest, to keep the Sabbath. But what does it look for you? I don't want to define that for you. I don't want to legalistically tell you what your Sabbath looks like. But what does your you should have a Sabbath, because if you don't rest, you're not going to do well. Because you were wired for a rest. Because your Creator rested. What does rest look like? One time, when I started to teach and I started tapping into the Spirit, I remember sitting on a stool, because that's how I preached when I first started. I would take my guitar. I was the worship leader. I flipped it upside down. That was my pulpit. I sat on a stool, because I usually sat on a stool to lead worship back in the day. That kept me still, because when I stood up and worship, I end up facing the wall or doing something stupid, because I always had my eyes closed. I'm singing one night in worship down in the basement of the Pattersonville Hall, you know, at a Wednesday night meeting, and all of a sudden the sound changed as I was singing my little heart out. I'm like, that's weird. What has happened? There was no sound system. We're just in the basement. I open my eyes. I'm facing a block wall. Like, I had turned completely around. I'm singing to the wall, you know. Oh yeah, I better sit still, you know, so I sit on a stool. Flip my guitar upside down, put my Bible there. Okay, I'm ready to preach, because I don't want to look like, I don't know what. Just me being quirky, I guess. I taught about the rest, and I had this revelation about a lamp. And the picture of the lamp, this is the lamp working, functioning. It's not striving, it's just what it's created to do. There's oil in the lamp. Not a lot, and you know, and there's a fire, and it's functioning. The picture of rest is that I'm not going to do it because it's too hot to touch. Can't touch this. Blow out the flame, take off the globe, unscrew it, and pull the wick out, and that's the posture of, because what's this rest for this lamp? Filling the oil. What does rest look like when you're the lid's off and you're just getting filled? I mean, one of my favorite things to do on Saturday, when I really feel rejuvenated on a Saturday, is to just be in the yard and wash the car and do some things. And sit with my Bible and a good book out in the front yard with the wind blowing, looking up at, you know, my little sanctuary out there. And just the combination of things, just that's a rest, and I feel rejuvenated and I commune with the Lord. But your connection point, let's look at some other things that I had taught on a few weeks ago, and I felt drawn back to this. It's in 1 Peter 2:15 and 16, but you can turn there if you want, but I want to hit the highlights of what I saw, because I took a second look at this, and I want these things that we get instructed to do, they're not just so you do what you're told to do. I was having a conversation with Kevin yesterday, like, there's so much about this that he instructs us, but he instructs us because these are the keys to life. If Summer and Adam tell Shiloh, don't play in the road, they just ruined his life. He's going to let out that squeal. I walked out of my house this morning to come up here, and I hear this like exotic bird call, like, screech, high, whatever. And I'm like, what in the? And I realize it's Shiloh on the deck across the street. And so I yell across the road at him, and he starts answering me like only here in Bethesda Road. Don't play in the street, Shiloh. You know, he's like, you just ruined my life. I want to be out there. Now, he's going to grow up, and he's going to get the revelation. This might not be a good place to play. They didn't tell me that to ruin my day. They told me that so I'd live till I was four. And how much the Lord's instruction to us is exactly like that. It's like, we're just like, oh, you know, geez, I got to do this. I've got to forgive. I've got to, you know, I've got to do good. I've got to have faith. I've got to whatever, like, all this stuff. Yeah, but what if those are the keys to life? What if those are the connections and the grace flows and the download comes? I mean, my favorite, I love it when the Spirit just really falls on me. Those are downloads. I don't really turn that on or off. It comes when it comes. But it doesn't have to be even that dramatic. Look at these things, these highlights out of 1 Peter that I read to you several weeks back, maybe a month ago. Number one, do good. I actually had that word. There's a couple scriptures, there's a couple words the Lord uses. He's used with me since I was way, way, way young. And one, what's the some of you can help me with if you do well, it's Cain and Abel. And he says to Cain, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? He was all in a huff about that sacrifice thing. You took it, you honored his sacrifice, and you didn't honor mine. And I am fill in the blank. And the Lord speaks to him, be careful, watch your attitude. Why is your countenance fallen? You know, like, what's happened to your face? And the Lord answers him and says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? So that's a key. That's always been. And that came to me again. I just was struggling. I just was just feeling like bad feelings. Just feeling. And I hear the Spirit say to me, remind me, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? Oh, yeah. All right. That's the key. There's not a prayer to pray. There's just identify what is good today. And it could be just work, wash the car. I don't know. It can be, but what's good for you? I can't tell you what that is, but you know. Just do what is good. Fulfill some promises. Just show up today for life. Love your wife. Be kind to somebody. Do good. That is a connect. When you do that, you make a choice to do that thing, obey in that. This is why there's not a formula. There's not supposed to be. But we've got some key notes here, like some leads. Follow this. Do good what you know is good. And do that with a pure heart. And the connection starts, you start to receive the download, the grace that's already been given. It's already in the account. All that you need is in Christ. It's like hooking up to the big bank. And all you have to do is connect and stay connected. And get that download. Keep receiving that. The next one is live as a free person. The alternative to living as free is living as a victim. They did, you know, you're blaming everybody and everything, and we're all prone to go there, so we must guard against that and encourage each other day after day. So many things in life we feel stuck in. Shame on us. I don't see handcuffs. I don't see a gun to your head. Well, I have to. Really? You mean if you don't, someone might be upset with you and maybe you should do something and maybe you shouldn't? What we're saying is, I don't like the consequences and I'm stuck in this. I have to go or I'm going to look bad. All right. Well, either go and get a smile on your face or don't go and suffer the consequences, but don't be a victim. Own it. Own it. We are so entangled in our culture. We're trying to keep up appearances, and we are all twisted up over it. It's killing us, people. Stop trying to be the hero. Stop trying to keep up with everybody else. And the quote from one of the animation movies, Be yourself. Don't use your liberty. There's a lot of things you can do, but they may not necessarily be expedient. Don't give me your justifications for it. Let's go after what is your conscience. Well, I can do this. I mean, I don't want people telling, you know, blah, 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 you know, and off we go. Yeah, but was that a good thing? Yeah, you can. You can do that. But are you using your liberty for a license, as a license to do something that's hurting someone, hurting yourself, bringing things that you know. Don't use your liberty for that. There are times when there are things you can't do just because you don't want to wound. Now, this is about caring people. This is not about being fear of man, but this is about caring about people. There are times when you don't do something just because you care about someone you're in covenant with, for example. Just because there's someone else attached to this or some group of people attached to this, and you, and out of a consciousness of keeping that, protecting that, protecting them, protecting that relationship, that you choose not to do that. That is this thing of don't use your liberty as an excuse. Live as a bond servant. This is not a victim servant. This is a free servant. This is a servant that came to a place in Bible times. There were indentured servants, and they were like indentured. We call it employment today. For 7 years, for some time, and they work off their whatever freedom. It's like, and the master would go, "Okay, you're free to go. You've fulfilled your thing." And a bond servant goes, "No, I like this place. I like this job. I think I'll stay. You sure? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take you to the doorpost. Stick a ice pick through your ear, and I identify you as a that was the custom." And now you have a mark in your ear, probably some ugly kind of tear. I don't know what it looked like. Pierced ears. Now we go pay people to have that done. Yeah, Yeah. We probably should just stay out of the piercing subject, huh? We look at that and go, "How could you?" Then we shoot our face full of metal, whatever, and go, "Hey, look at my new, nose ring." I love the ones that look like a bone coming out. You sigh like, "Oh my gosh." How do you blow your nose? Like, what do you, doesn't that get in the way of things? So we look at Bible customs and go, "Oh, that's bad." Then they don't have nothing on us. But a bondservant, they were actually had a mark that identified them as, "Oh, you're a servant, but you chose to be a servant." So that's a whole different thing. Paul said, "I'm a bondservant of Christ. I'm like giving up my life and doing some wild stuff here. It's not all fun, like the rock throwings. I don't like the rock throwing ceremonies." But I'm good because I'm a bondservant. I choose to be here. I choose to take the big hits. I'm not a victim. It changes everything, doesn't it? Honor all people. Wow, honoring women, this mothering thing, this role of being mothers. Honor that today. We want to honor each other. Your marriage will take a boom immediately if you start to honor one another. And don't wait till they deserve it. That's the key. "Oh, man, you don't know my husband. He's not worthy of no honor. You don't know my wife. My kids treat me like crap." Try the honor thing. Just see what happens. Start honoring people. We're like, "Oh, no, I'm not giving that out." It creates the connection because God loves this. Is it worth it? If you have an instruction about something and it keeps you tapped into grace and the grace flows, when I get radical about praying over things in my heart that no one else sees, but I know they're there. When I get radical about that, over here, there's an openness. Like I go, wow, that was kind of miserable yesterday. I have to work through all that. But today, life's, yeah, this is pretty good. There's favor. The door's open. The air, I can breathe. Breathe the air. Wow, there's a reciprocal thing from heaven over this stuff. Why? Because the Lord's given us the keys. Do this. Not just because I don't like you, but because it opens up things for you. It keeps you connected to grace. You want to stay connected. Can I submit to you that there's a way that we can stay in the Spirit? Pray without ceasing. How? It's a place. It's a posture. You stay connected. And you can do that as you work and as you whatever. You stay connected. You keep the flow, the connection. You get the upgrades. You get the firmware updates. You can buy a brand new piece of equipment. I've gone through this a few things with things here. And it's not long. It's like, it needs a firmware update. Oh, Lord, you know, so get to the website, you download the thing on this thing. It's all invisible. If you're over 60, you understand my pain. It's up here. And you carry this thing over to the drum machine, you plug it in, you call somebody in Nebraska. Okay, I did this. What do I do next? Find this, push that, do this. But I'm scared to death. This is why men don't ask directions. We're not sure we're going to understand the directions. That's confession. You won't get that out of me too often. Stop and ask directions. I'm not sure I'm going to get them. They rattle off about 3 things to me, 4 things, 5 things too fast. I'm going to walk away, go thanks, and go, I'm still lost. See, that's why, because you women have better brain for that stuff, and you're like, you can take it on. Oh, yeah. Me, I'm like, oh, geez. And now I'm too prideful to admit I didn't get that at all. Love the brotherhood. It's a choice, people. It's a choice. Love the brotherhood. Look around a little bit. If you don't know us, you go, oh, it's easy to love this group. If you know us, yeah, you go, oh, that's not always easy. But what if choosing to love keeps this between you and Jesus? You access. It's another access point. I went back to this list. And I went, oh, these are access points. These are points to keep me connected. And if I honor them and do them and choose to do them, I stay connected to the grace of God, which is where my stuff's at. That's where everything's at that I need. It's already given. I can't ask for more because there's no more. Heaven's like, I need more money. It's in the bank. I need more whatever. It's in your account. Help me. I have. Access by faith. And by doing these things, there are things to do. And you don't do them legalistically. You do them because you go, I'm going to practice this because I believe in this. And it will, if I follow his instruction, it pleases him and I connect. And receive. And lastly, fear God. Like, put it, we talked about that. Fear God. Because if you fear God, you ain't fear nothing else. We listen to this man, Mark Gephardt. Good grief, amazing. He is standing. He's going where the police won't go. And he has no fear because he's truly come to this place of knowing the Lord's with him. You get into some of these countries in Mexico and places in Mexico and some of these Cambodia and different places, and there are whole cities, and there's more of this on the planet than we want to acknowledge. That the fear, that the police will not go. Europe is now full of these kind of cities. There's whole areas and regions and cities where the police, they have been run out. They cannot have their headquarters in certain sections anymore. Wow. And this guy with the gospel, with his prayer walk, he's going. Why? Because he fears God. And once he has this genuine fear of the Lord that gives him peace, and he doesn't fear anything else. Now that's a great revelation. Fear the Lord, because if he's what you fear, then you know, oh, you're just a man with a gun. You're nothing. You're just a person with threats. You just can walk. You could just go. Access points. Connect. 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 How do we minister to this today? You got it? Did he start? Maddox. Everything you have has been given. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. It's the fullness of Christ. It's granted, and we need to tap into that. Because struggling with something in life, that's the answer, that connection with him. Need more of something? Tap into this. Needing courage? Not feeling brave? There's a lot of things that are scary out there. There are a lot of things that are scary in here. I might fail. I may fail. I may not add up. I may not dress right today. Funny how much what we fear. I may not be accepted. I may step out in something spiritual and fall flat on my face. We want to be marked by people that are courageous and brave, full of faith. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Let me bless all of you and release you. Father, love you. Again, I honor our mothers and honor the role of mothers in the church and in the world, in our communities. I would just speak a greater grace to that. I ask that we will be able to go in peace, to love and to serve you. In Jesus' name.